this. We celebrate lots of things. We think celebrations are sort of normal, right? We celebrate Easter. We celebrate 4th of July. We celebrate Halloween and Thanksgiving. We celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. But think for a second about all those other things we celebrate and think about the celebration of Christmas. Celebration of Christmas starts with a month-long shopping spree, beginning on Black Friday, even has a name, and we spend an entire month going out and buying presents and shopping and on Amazon and, you know, waiting for packages to be delivered. I mean, it's just this endless festival of shopping. There are Christmas television specials that we watch and rewatch and rewatch. Some of them have been on TV for 50 straight years now, and we're still watching them over and over and over again. There are Christmas movies that we watch and rewatch. There's Christmas music. Think about the amount of Christmas music you own. I mean, just the volumes of Christmas music you own. There's the nativity sets. There's the lights and the trees and the ornaments. There's inflatable snowmen on lawns, right? There's just wreaths everywhere. And you think about all of these things we do to celebrate Christmas. And you begin to think, you know, we've got this whole cast of characters. We get Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and you could probably name the other eight reindeer too. And you've got Frosty the Snowman, and you got Ralphie and Buddy the Elf, and we got this whole cast of people that we can talk about and you know, think about every single year. We've got musicians. Who listens to Bing Crosby at any time other than Christmas these days? I mean, really, Andy Williams exists solely for Christmas now, I'm pretty sure. Trans-Siberian Orchestra makes its name for Christmas. Mariah Carey will live on forever, way past her past due date, because of Christmas. And so we have this whole array of music that goes with it. We have traditions. We have literature. Ebenezer Scrooge, great literary character. We resurrect him. Endless numbers of movies made of A Christmas Carol. We have the nativity sets. We have the Nutcracker Suite. We've got all of this stuff surrounding Christmas. And what do we have for, I don't know, let's take Easter. We got a pathetic little rabbit. How many Easter albums do you own? Easter television specials? Easter movies? How much shopping do you do before? How many presents do you have? 4th of July? Thanksgiving? Your birthday. I mean, birthdays are great and all. We think we celebrate birthdays. But how many of you spend 1 month in anticipation of your birthday? Yeah. And how many of you go shopping for other people to celebrate your birthday? Yeah, well, nobody would. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas like nothing else. I mean, it is big. Why? And this is the moment, you know, we're in a church and you all know what's supposed to come right now. I mean, a normal thing would be, okay, well, we got all this stuff and it's the distraction. We need to talk seriously about Christmas. We got all that fun stuff out there. What's serious about Christmas? Because you think about all that fun stuff and you realize, you know, Santa Claus, right? I mean, what does Santa do? He goes around and he gives presents to people. And that seems off message. Or Rudolph and the big message that we all sort of fit. We all have a place and we're important. And that's off message. Or Scrooge discovering sort of we need to love each other and care for one another. And Christmas trees, the evergreen tree, the symbol of life in the midst of winter. And in fact, even celebrating it at the winter solstice, right? The world is getting darker and darker and darker, and then suddenly it's getting lighter and lighter and lighter. And as you begin to think about all of the frivolous stuff of Christmas, stuff you're not supposed to talk about in church at Christmas, it all keeps circling around the same thing. There's this little baby right at the middle of all of this, center of every nativity scene, right? And the life-size ones down to the little ones. There's this little baby there, and all of this stuff keeps circling around and around and around this little baby. Why? What's so interesting about that little baby? And as T.S. Eliot put it, the hint half-guessed is incarnation. This isn't just a little baby in the middle of it. And we all know this. You know, in this church, we're all supposed to know the right answer here, right? But sort of, there's this little baby here, but there's something really interesting about that little baby. That little baby we know will grow up and die and be raised again to save us from our sins. But something else is really happening on that Christmas day. On that Christmas day, that little baby who's going to grow up and die and save us from our sins isn't just a little human baby. It's God being born. And as Eliot puts it, this is the impossible union of two spheres of existence being realized. We have this world we live in, and we're muddled through our world, and then there's this whole other world out there, the world of God. And suddenly, on Christmas Day, those two worlds come crashing together, and God's world comes into our world. And you think about that for a minute, and you think, there's something a little weird about God's world coming crashing into our world. Because we talk about, like, we want to think about this sort of idea that we live these real lives. And Christmas seems a little bit fake somehow. It seems like this sort of side note. It's this fun thing we do. It's sort of frivolous in a way. Church seems like that. We come to a Christmas Eve service, and it feels like kind of an interruption of all the big party of Christmas. And there's just this whole thing about Christmas that just seems like that's not real life. Real life is all the pain and the trouble and having to go to work next week and dealing with your kids or your parents or your spouses. I mean, that's real life. But the weird thing about Christmas is, if you want to point to the one real event in all of human history, it is the incarnation. Every other event in our lives is being lived here in this world we live in. And at the moment of incarnation, our world and God's world come crashing together. There is nothing more real than the moment of the incarnation. And if we think about that, if we think that this is the singular most real event in all of human history, and we gather together to celebrate it, well, what would be the appropriate reaction to the truest, most real moment in all of human history? Well, I dare say one thing we might want to do is throw a big party to celebrate it. Because all the rest of our lives is being lived here in this fake world, in a sense. This world we muddle through, and we've got this whole other world out there that comes crashing in. And why wouldn't we turn it into the biggest celebration in human history, year after year after year? G.K. Chesterton noted, "The joy of Christmas is founded on the seriousness of Christmas." And one of the problems I think we often have in church is we tend to think we're supposed to take Christmas so seriously that it's not supposed to be joyous and fun and giddy and happy, and we're going to be serious at Christmas time. But if you really want to be serious about Christmas, you know what you should do? You should put a big inflatable snowman on your front lawn. You should go wild and think of this as the most amazing, incredible party in the history of the world, because God has just shown up on earth. And why did God show up on earth? Because he cared enough about you to come to earth and grow up and die for you. And if that doesn't make us incredibly happy, we've missed the point of Christmas. The point of Christmas is that it is serious, but it's the very seriousness that makes it so joyful. And so as we go out of here tonight, we should be going out of here with this just massive spirit of celebration, this massive, wonderful thing that tomorrow is just like the greatest party ever, and it's fun, and it doesn't matter what goes wrong, and it doesn't matter all the problems and all that. I mean, none of that matters. What matters is when you sit down and think about that baby being born, that's a really happy event. And that really happy event spills out into our lives in the strangest, gaudiest, most improbable ways, and that's celebrating Christmas. And we do that here. We close our service every year the same way. We close our service by singing two songs, right? We start with Silent Night. And Silent Night is this marvelous little hymn that sort of brings us in and imagining this night. And, you know, we picture it as silent. It's probably not, right? It's in a manger, for heaven's sake, right? I mean, sort of. So, but we imagine there's this silent night of this pause and let's think about it. But we don't end on Silent Night. Silent Night immediately translates into joy to the world. And then as we're singing these songs, we use our little candles. And what happens with the candles? We start singing Silent Night, and the light comes out from the Christ candle and goes through the congregation, and we're holding these little lights. And on the third verse of Silent Night, we raise them up high above our heads because we begin to see the light that we had here is beginning to be spread out, and we hold them high through joy to the world as we celebrate together this most amazing light just sort of pouring out into the world. And the candles are cheap, and they drip wax on your hand, and that's part of the fun of the whole thing, is this is the craziest, most surreal event you can imagine. But what better way to celebrate the birth of Christ? So if you could take your candles and your hymnals together, and please rise, and we will start by singing Silent Night, hymn number 147. As soon as that's done, we will start singing Joy to the World, hymn number 125.